best if I kept it mysterious, with Raven an old enemy by implication. Somebody I would do most anything to jump in the dark, but not somebody important in any other way. "I got you," he said. He looked at me somewhat differently, as though glad to discover I wasn't different after all. Hell, I'm not, but I like to pretend I am, most of the time. I told him, "I'm going back to Durtile. Got to talk to a couple buddies."
"Can you find your way?"
"I can. Let me know what you find out."
"Will do."
We separated. I went up the hill as fast as 40-year-old legs would carry me. I got Elmo and Goblin off where nobody could overhear us.
"We maybe got a problem, friends."
"Like what?"
Goblin wanted to know. He had been aching for me to talk from the minute I rounded him up. I guess I looked a little ragged around the fringes. "There's a guy named Raven operating down in the Buskin. The other day, when I was down there with Bullock, I thought I saw a guy who looked like our Raven from a distance, but I shrugged it off then. They quick got as nervous as me."
"You sure it's him?" Elmo asked.
"No, not yet. I got the hell out of there the minute I heard the name, Raven. Let Bullock think he's an old enemy I want to stick a knife in. He's going to ask around for me while he's doing his own business. Get me a description. See if Darling is with him. I'm probably off in the wild blue yonder, but I wanted you guys to know, in case."
"What if it is him?" Elmo said. "What do we do then?"
"I don't know. It could be big trouble. If Whisper had some reason to get interested, like because he hangs around with the rebel refugees here, well, you know."
Goblin mused.
"Seems Silent said Raven was going to run so far nobody would ever find him again."
"So maybe he thought he'd run far enough. This is damn near the end of the world." Which in part was why I was so nervous. This was the kind of place I could picture Raven having gone to ground, as far from the lady as you could get, without learning to walk on water.
"Seems to me," Elmo said, "we ought to make sure before we panic, then decide what to do. This might be the time to put our guys into the Buskin."
"That's what I was thinking. I already got a plan in front of Whisper for something else. Let's tell her we're going with that, and have the guys watch for Raven."
"Who?" Elmo asked. "Raven would recognize anybody who knows him."
"Not true. Use guys who joined up at Charm. Send Pawnbroker just to make sure. He's not likely to remember the new guys. There were so many of them. If you want somebody reliable to run the thing and back them up, use Goblin. Park him where he can stay out of sight, but keep his hands on the reins."
"What do you think, Goblin?" he asked.
Goblin smiled nervously.
"Give me something to do, anyway. I'm going out of my skull up here. These people are weird."
Elmo chuckled.
"Missing one eye?"
"Almost."
"All right," I said. "You'll need a guide. That'll have to be me. I don't want Bullock getting his nose any deeper into this. But they think I'm one of his men down there. You'll have to follow me from a distance, and try not to look like what you are. Don't make it hard on yourselves."
Elmo stretched.
"I'll get Kingpin and Pawnbroker now. You take them down and show them a place. One can come back for the others. Go ahead and scope it out with Goblin."
He left.
And so it went. Goblin and the six soldiers took rooms not far from the moneylender Crag's headquarters. Up on the hill, I pretended it was all for the cause. I waited.
Chapter 17. Juniper. Travel Plans. Shed caught Asa trying to sneak out.
"What the hell is this?"
"I need to get out, Shed. I'm going crazy up there."
"Yeah? You want to know something, Asa? The Inquisitors are looking for you. Bullock himself was in here the other day, and he asked for you by name."
Shed was stretching the facts slightly. Bullock's interest had not been intense, but it had to have something to do with the catacombs. Bullock and his sidekick were in the Buskin almost every day, asking, asking, asking questions. He didn't need Asa meeting Bullock face to face.
Asa would either panic or crumble under questioning. Either way, Marin Shed would get into the heat damned fast.
Asa, if they catch you, we're all dead.
Why?
You were spending those old coins. They're looking for somebody with a lot of old money.
Damn that raven.
What?
He gave me the passage money, as my share. I'm rich, and now you tell me I can't spend it without getting grabbed.
He probably figured you'd hold off till the excitement died down. He'd be gone by then.
Gone?
He's leaving as soon as the harbor opens.
Where's he headed?
South somewhere. He won't talk about it.
So what do I do? Keep scrambling for a living? Damn it, Shed, that's not fair.
Look on the bright side, Asa. Nobody wants to kill you anymore.
So? Now Bullock is after me. Maybe I could have made a deal with Crag. Bullock don't deal. It ain't fair. All my life.
Shed did not listen. He sang the same song all too often.
What can I do, Shed?
I don't know. Stay holed up, I guess. He had a glimmer of a notion. How about you get out of Juniper for a while?
Yeah, you might have something. That money would spend just fine somewhere else, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I've never traveled.
Get Raven up here when he shows up.
Asa?
Hey, Shed, come on. It won't hurt to ask. All he can do is say no.
Whatever you want, Asa. I hate to see you go.
Sure you do, Shed. Sure you do.
As Shed ducked out the doorway, Asa called,
Wait a second.
Yeah?
It's kind of hard. I never did thank you.
Thank me? For what?
You saved my life. You brought me back, didn't you?
Shed shrugged, nodded.
No big thing, Asa. Sure it is, Shed, and I'll remember it. I owe you the big one.
Shed went downstairs before he could be embarrassed further. He discovered that Raven had returned. The man was in one of his animated discussions with Darling, arguing again. They had to be lovers. Damn it all. He waited until Raven noticed him watching.
Asa wants to see you. I think he wants to go with you when you leave.
Raven chuckled.
That would solve your problem, wouldn't it?
Shed did not deny that he would be more comfortable with Asa out of Juniper.
What do you think?
Not a bad idea, actually. Asa isn't much, but I need men. I have a hold on him, and him being gone would help cover my back trail.
Take him with my blessing.
Raven started upstairs. Shed said, Wait. He didn't know how to approach this, because he didn't know if it was important, but he'd better tell Raven.
Bullock's been hanging around the buskin a lot lately. Him and a sidekick.
So?
So maybe he's closer than we think. For one thing, he was in here looking for Asa. For another, he's been asking about you.
Raven's face went empty.
About me? How so? On the quiet, my cousin Wally's wife, Sal, her brother is married to one of Bullock's cousins. Anyway, Bullock still knows some people down here, from before he got on the custodians. He helps them out sometimes, so some of them tell him things he wants to know.
I get the picture. Get to the point.
Bullock was asking about you, who you are, where you come from, who your friends are, things like that.
Why? Shed could only shrug.
All right. Thanks. I'll check it out.
Chapter 18. Juniper, Blowing Smoke. Goblin stood across the street, leaning against a building, staring intently. I frowned angrily. What the hell was he doing on the street? Bullock might recognize him and realize we were playing games. Obviously, he wanted to tell me something. Bullock was about to enter another of his countless dives. I told him,
Gotta see a man about a horse in the alley.
Yeah.
He went inside.
I slipped into the alley and made water. Goblin joined me there.
What is it? I asked.
What it is, Croaker, is it's him. Raven. Our Raven. Not only him, but Darling. She's a barmaid in a place called the Iron Lily.
Holy shit, I murmured.
Raven lives there. They're doing a show like they don't know each other that well, but Raven looks out for her.
Damn it. It had to be, didn't it? What do we do now?
Maybe bend over and kiss our asses goodbye? The bastard could be smack in the middle of the body-selling racket. Everything we found could add up that way.
How come you could find that when Bullock couldn't?
I got resources Bullock doesn't.
I nodded. He did. Sometimes it's handy having a wizard around. Sometimes it's not, if it's one of those bitches up in Durtile. Hurry it up, I said. He'll wonder where I am.
Raven has his own wagon and team. Keeps it way across town. Usually only takes it out late at night.
I nodded. We'd already determined that body runners worked the night shift.
But, he said, and you're going to love this butt, Croker. He took it out in the daytime once, a while back. Coincidentally, the day somebody hit the catacombs.
Oh, boy.
I looked that wagon over, Croker. There was blood in it. Fairly fresh. I dated about when that moneylender and his pals disappeared.
Oh, boy. Shit. We're in for it now. Better get. Going to have to think of a story for Bullock now.
Later.
Yeah. At that moment, I was ready to give up. Despair overwhelmed me. That damned fool, Raven. I knew exactly what he was doing. Getting together a fat bunch of running money by selling bodies and plundering graves. His conscience wouldn't bother him. In his part of the world, such things were of much less consequence. And he had a cause. Darling. I couldn't get away from Bullock. I wanted desperately to run to Elmo, but I had to trudge hither and yon, asking questions. I looked up the northern slope at the Black Castle, and thought of it as the fortress Raven had built. I was going off the deep end. I told myself that. The evidence wasn't yet conclusive, but it was. Enough. My employers did not wait on legal niceties or absolute evidence. Elmo was rattled, too.
We could kill him. No risk him giving anything away then.
Really, Elmo?
I didn't mean it, but you know I'd do it if the choice got narrow enough.
Yeah. We all would, or we'd try. Raven might not let us. He was the toughest son of a bitch I'd ever known. If you ask me, we ought to find him and just tell him to get the hell out of Juniper.
Elmo gave me a disgusted look. Haven't you been paying attention? Right now, the only way in or out is the one we took. The harbor is frozen. The passes are snowed in. You think we could get Whisper to fly some civilian out for us?
Civilians. Goblin says Darling is still with him.
Elmo looked thoughtful. I started to say something. He waved a hand for silence. I waited. He finally asked, "What would he do if he saw you? If he's been hanging around with the Crater Bunch?" I clicked my tongue.
"Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Let me go check something."
I hunted Bullock up. "You or the Duke got somebody inside the Crater Bunch?"
He looked puzzled. "Maybe. Why?"
"Let's have a sit-down with them. An idea. It might help us break our thing here."
He looked at me a long moment. Maybe he was sharper than he pretended. "All right. Not that they would have learned much. The only reason they haven't run our guys off is we don't bother them. They just get together and talk about the old days. They don't have any fight left."
"Let's give it a look anyway. Maybe they're less innocent than they look."
"Give me a half hour."
I did, and when that time was up, he and I sat down with two secret policemen. He and I took turns asking questions, each coming from his own private slant. Neither knew Raven, at least not by that name. That was a relief, but there was something there, and Bullock sensed it immediately. He hung on till he had something to chew.
"I'm going to my boss," I told him. "She'll want to know about this."
I had to come up with a diversion. It seemed it would suit Bullock. He said,
"I'll take it up with Hagedin.
Didn't occur to me this might be foreigners. Political. That could be why the money didn't show up. Maybe they're selling bodies, too.
Rebellions do take money, I observed.
We moved next evening, at Whisper's insistence, over the objections of the Duke, but with the support of the chief custodian. The Duke still did not want us seen. The custodians didn't give a damn. They just wanted to salvage their reputation.
Elmo came slinking through the evening shadows.
"Ready here," he whispered.
I glanced at the four men with me.
"Ready."
Every company man in Juniper was there, with the Duke's secret police and a dozen of Bullock's men. I'd thought his job silly, but even so had been astonished to discover how few men his office actually employed. All but one were there. The one was legitimately sick. Elmo made a sound like a cow mooing, repeated three times. The one-time rebels were all together for their regular confab. I snickered, thinking of the surprise they were going to get. They thought they were safe from the lady by 1,500 miles and 7 years. It took less than a minute. No one was injured. They just looked at us dumbly, arms hanging slack. Then one even recognized us and groaned.
"The Black Company. In Juniper."
Then another.
"It's over. It's the end. She's really won."
They didn't seem to care much. Some, in fact, looked relieved. We pulled it off so smoothly there was hardly any notice from the neighbors. The slickest raid I'd ever seen. We marched them up to Durtile, and Whisper and Feather went to work. I just hoped one of them wouldn't know too much. I'd made a long bet, hoping Raven would not have told them who Darling was. If he had, I'd pull the roof down instead of misdirecting attention. I did not hear from Whisper, so I guessed I'd won.
Chapter 19. Juniper. Fear. Raven slammed through the door of the Lily. Shed looked up, startled. Raven leaned against the doorframe, panting. He looked like he just stared his death in the face. Shed put his rag aside and hurried over, a stoneware bottle in hand.
"What happened?"
Raven stared over his shoulder at Darling, who was waiting on Shed's lone paying customer. He shook his head, took several deep breaths, shuddered.
He was scared. By all that was holy, the man was terrified.
Shed was aghast. What could have gotten him into this state? Even the Black Castle did not shake him. "Raven, come over here and sit." He took Raven's arm. The man followed docilely. Shed caught Darling's eye, signed for two mugs and another stoneware bottle. Darling took one look at Raven and forgot her customer. She was there with mugs and bottle in seconds, her fingers flashing at Raven. Raven did not see.
"Raven," Shed said in a sharp whisper, "snap out of it, man. What the hell happened?"
Raven's eyes focused. He looked at Shed, at Darling, at the wine. He tossed off a mug in one gulp, slapped it down. Darling poured again. Her customer protested at being abandoned.
"Get it yourself," Shed told him.
The man became abusive.
"Go to hell, then," Shed said. "Raven, talk. Are we in trouble?"
No, not we, Shed. Me."
He shuddered like a dog coming out of water, faced Darling. His fingers started talking. Shed caught most of it. Raven told her to pack. They had to run again. Darling wanted to know why.
"Because they've found us," Raven told her.
"Who?"
Darling asked.
"The company. They're here. In Juniper."
Darling did not seem distressed. She denied the possibility.
"The company," Shed thought. "What the hell was this?"
"They are here," Raven insisted. "I went to the meeting. I was late. Lucky. I got there after it started. The Duke's men, the custodians, and the company. I saw Croker
and Elmo, and Goblin. I heard them call each other by name. I heard them mention Whisper and Feather. The company is in Juniper, and the Taken are with them. We have to go.
Shed had no idea what in hell this was about. Who were these people? Why was Raven scared?
How are you going to run anywhere, Raven? You can't get out of town. The harbor's still frozen.
Raven looked at him as if he were a heretic.
Settle down, Raven. Use your head. I don't know what the hell is going on, but I can tell you this. Right now, you're acting more like Marin Shed than like Raven. Old Shed is the guy who panics, remember?
Raven managed a feeble grin.
You're right. Yeah. Raven uses his brain.
He snickered sourly.
Thanks, Shed.
What happened?
Let's just say the past came back. A past I didn't expect to see again.
Tell me about this sidekick you said Bullock's been pulling around lately. Word I've heard, Bullock is a loner.
Shed described the man, though he could not recall him well. His attention had been on Bullock. Darling positioned herself so she could read his lips. She formed a word with hers. Raven nodded.
Croaker.
Shed shivered. The name sounded sinister when Raven translated it.
He's some kind of hired killer.
Raven laughed softly.
No. Actually, he's a physician. Halfway competent, too. But he has other talents, like being crafty enough to come around looking for me in Bullock's shadow. Who would pay attention to him? They'd be too worried about the damned Inquisitor.
Darling flashed signs. She went too fast for Shed, but he thought she was admonishing Raven, telling him Croaker was his friend and would not be hunting him. It was coincidence that their paths had crossed.
Not coincidence at all,
Raven countered, both aloud and by sign.
If they aren't hunting me, why are they in Juniper? Why are two of the Taken here?
Again, Darling responded too fast for Shed to catch everything. She seemed to be arguing that if someone called the Lady had gotten to this Croaker, or another someone called Silent, Croaker would not be here. Raven stared at her a good 15 seconds, still as stone. He downed another mug of wine. Then he said,
"You're right. Absolutely right. If they were looking for me, they would have had me. And you. The Taken themselves would have been all over us. So, coincidence after all. But coincidence or not, the Lady's top thugs are in Juniper, and they're looking for something. What? Why?"
This was the old Raven, cool and hard and thinking. Darling flashed, "Black Castle." Shed's humor vanished. Raven looked at the girl for several seconds, glanced in the general direction of the Black Castle. Then he looked at Darling again.
"Why?"
Darling shrugged. She flashed, "There is nothing else about Juniper that would bring her here." Raven thought a few minutes more. Then he turned to Shed.
"Shed, have I made you rich? Have I gotten your ass far enough out of trouble?"
"Sure, Raven."
"Your turn to give me a hand, then. Some very powerful enemies of mine are in Juniper. They're working with the Custodians and the Duke, and are probably here because of the Black Castle. If they spot me, I'm in trouble."
Marin Shed had a full belly. He had a warm place to sleep. His mother was safe. He had no debts and no immediate threats hanging over his head. The man opposite him was responsible. Also responsible for saddling him with an agonized conscience, but that he could forgive.
"Ask. I'll do what I can."
"You'll be helping yourself, too, if they're looking into the castle. You, me, and Asa, we made a mistake raiding the catacombs. Never mind. I want you to find out whatever you can about what's going on in Durtile. If you need bribe money, tell me. I'll cover it."
Puzzled, Shed said,
"Sure. Can't you tell me a little more?"
"Not till I know a little more. Darling, get your stuff together. We have to disappear."
For the first time, Shed protested.
"Hey, what are you doing? How am I supposed to run this place without her? Get that girl Lisa in here. Get your cousin. I don't care. We have to disappear.
Shed frowned.
Raven said, They want her more than they want me.
She's just a kid.
Shed.
Yes, sir.
How do I get in touch, sir?
You don't.
I'll get in touch with you. Darling, go. Those are taken up there.
What are taken? Shed asked.
If you have gods, Shed, pray that you never find out. Pray hard.
And when Darling returned with her meager belongings, Raven said,
I think you ought to reconsider leaving Juniper with me. Things are going to start happening around here, and you won't like them.
I have to take care of my mother.
Think about it anyway, Shed. I know what I'm talking about. I used to work for those people.
Chapter 20 Juniper, Shadow Talk. Raven vanished on us. Even Goblin could find no trace. Feather and Whisper worked on our prisoners till each was drained and got nothing on our old friend. I concluded that Raven had used an assumed name when dealing with them. Why hadn't he used one down in the buskin? Folly? Pride? As I recall, Raven had too much of that. Raven was not his real name, any more than Croaker is mine, but that was the name we knew him by the year he served with us. None of us, unless maybe the captain, knew his real one. He had been a man of substance once, in Opal. That I knew. He and the Limper became bitter enemies when the Limper used his wife and her lovers to do him out of his rights and titles. That I knew, but not who he was before he became a soldier of the Black Company. I dreaded telling the captain what we had found. He was fond of Raven, like brothers, the two of them. The captain, I think, was hurt when Raven deserted. He would be hurt more deeply when he learned what his friend had done in Juniper. Whisper called us in to announce the results of the interrogations. She said roughly,
We did not exactly score a triumph, gentlemen. All but a couple of those men were dabblers. We knocked the fight out of them at Charm. But we did learn that the Black Castle has been buying corpses. Its denizens even buy live bodies. Two of our captives have sold to them, raising money for the rebel.
The idea of trading in corpses was repellent, but not especially wicked. I wondered what use the Black Castle people had for them. Whisper continued.
They were not responsible for the raid on the catacombs. In fact, they are of no interest to us. We're turning them over to the custodians to do with as they please. You gentlemen will now go out into the city and resume digging.
Excuse me, ma'am, Elmo said.
Somewhere in Juniper there is someone who is feeding the Black Castle. Find him. The lady wants him.
Raven, I thought. Had to be Raven. Just had to be. We had to find that son of a bitch, yes. And get him out of town, or dead.
You have to understand what the company means. For us, it is father, mother, family. We are men with nothing else. Raven getting caught would kill the family, figuratively and literally. The lady would disband what remained of the outfit after she'd mauled us for not turning Raven in back when. I told Whisper,
It might help if we knew what we're dealing with. It's hard to take something serious when nobody tells you anything. What's the point of the exercise? That castle is damned bizarre, I grant you, but why should we care?
Whisper seemed to think about it. For several seconds her eyes were blank. She had taken the matter to higher authority. She was in communion with the lady. When she returned, she said,
The Black Castle has its roots in the Barrowland.
That got our attention. I croaked,
What?
The Black Castle is the Dominator's escape hole. When it reaches a certain size and a certain set of circumstances, the creatures who live there, who are his creatures, heart and soul, will conjure him out of the Great Barrow, here.
Several men snorted in disbelief. It did seem far-fetched, for all the weirdness and sorceries we have seen. Whisper said,
"He foresaw his defeat by the White Rose, though not his betrayal by the Lady. Even before the domination fell, he started preparing his return. He sent a faithful follower here, with the seed of the Black Castle. Something went wrong. He never planned to spend so long waiting. Maybe he did not know of Juniper's preoccupation with preserving the dead. What are they waiting for? A ship that will carry them to paradise?"
"Roughly," I agreed. "I studied it, but the whole business is still monkey chatter to me. Go on. The Dominator is going to pop out on us here."
"Not if we can stop him. But we may have gotten here too late. This man, if we don't take him soon, it will be too late. The portal is almost ready to open."
I looked at Elmo. He looked at me. Oh, boy, I thought. If Raven knew what he was doing. I still couldn't get upset. He did it for Darling. He couldn't have known he was doing the Dominator's work. He had that much conscience. He would have found another way. What the hell was he going to do with so much money? We had to find him. That was all there was to it. Whatever we did from now on, our main goal, for the sake of the company, had to be to warn him off. I glanced at Elmo. He agreed. From this moment forward, we would be fighting for the survival of the outfit. Somewhere, somehow, Raven must have smelled trouble. Goblin looked under every rock in the buskin, watched every alley, practically lived in the Iron Lily, and still found a big bunch of nothing. Time ground past, warmer weather threatened, and we became ever more panicky.
Chapter 21. Juniper. Raven departed soon after the outer channel opened. Shed went down to say goodbye, and only then discovered the nature of Raven's shipping investment. He had had a ship built and crewed, a whole new ship and as big a vessel as Shed had seen. No wonder he needed a fortune, he mused. How many bodies to build that? He returned to the Lily, numbed. He poured himself some wine, sat staring into nothing. "That Raven was a man of vision," he mumbled. "Glad he's gone, though. Asa, too. Maybe things can get back to normal."
Shed bought a cottage near the enclosure. He installed his mother with a staff of three. It was a relief to be rid of her evil, blind stare. He had workmen into the Lily every day. They interfered with business, but business remained good. The harbor was busy. There was work for anyone who wanted it. Shed could not handle prosperity. He hared after every impulse he had known during his impoverishment. He bought fine clothing he dared not wear. He went places frequented only by the wealthy, and he bought the attentions of beautiful women. Women cost a lot when you pretended to be somebody off the high slope. One day Shed went to his secret cash box and found it empty. All that money gone. Where? The improvements on the Lily weren't finished. He owed the workmen. He owed the people caring for his mother. Damn. Was he back where he started? Hardly. He had his profits. He scampered downstairs to his business cash box, opened it, sighed in relief. He'd done all his spending out of the box upstairs. But something was wrong. There wasn't anywhere near enough in the box.
"Hey, Wally!"
His cousin looked at him, gulped, raced out the door. Baffled, Shed hurried outside, saw Wally vanish into an alley. Then the truth hit him.
"Damn you!" he yelled. "Damn you, you damned thief!"
He went back in and tried to figure where he stood. An hour later, he told the workmen to knock off. He left his new girl, Lisa, in charge, started the rounds of his suppliers. Wally had screwed him good. He had bought on credit and pocketed monies payable.
Shed covered his debts as he went, growing increasingly alarmed as his reserves dwindled. Down to little more than copper, he returned to the Lily and started an inventory. At least Wally hadn't sold what he had bought on credit. The Lily was well stocked. Only what was he going to do about his mother? The house was paid for. That was a plus. But the old girl needed her servants to survive, and he couldn't pay their wages. But he didn't want her back in the Lily. He could sell all those clothes. He'd spent a fortune on them and couldn't wear them. He did some figuring. Yes, sell the clothes and he could support his mother till next summer. No more clothes. No more women. No more improvements on the Lily. Maybe Wally hadn't spent it all. Finding Wally was not difficult. He returned to his family after 2 days in hiding. He thought Shed would endure the loss. He didn't know he was dealing with a new Shed. Shed stormed to his cousin's tiny one-room apartment, kicked the door in. "Wally!" Wally squealed. His children and wife and mother all screeched questions. Shed ignored them. "Wally, I want it back! Every damned copper!" Wally's wife got in his way.
"Calm down, Marin. What's the matter?"
"Wally!" Wally cowered in a corner. "Out of my way, Sal. He stole damned near 100 leva. Shed grabbed his cousin and dragged him out the doorway. "I want it back."
"Shed!"
Shed shoved him. He staggered backward, tripped, rolled down a flight of stairs. Shed charged after him, hurled him down another flight.
"Shed, please!"
"Where's the money, Wally? I want the money."
"I don't have it, Shed. I spent it, honest. The kids had to have clothes. We had to eat. I couldn't help it, Shed. You had so much. Your family, Shed. You're supposed to help."
Shed shoved him into the street, kicked him in the groin, dragged him upright, started slapping.
"Where is it, Wally? You couldn't have spent that much. Hell, your kids are wearing rags. I paid you enough to handle that. Because you were family. I want the money you stole."
As he raged, Shed drove his cousin toward the Lily. Wally whined and begged, refusing to tell the truth. Shed guessed he had stolen upward of 50 leva, enough to have completed the renovation of the Lily. This hadn't been petty pilfering. He hurled blows in an angry rain. He herded Wally around behind the Lily, away from prying eyes.
"Now I get nasty, Wally. Shed, please. You stole from me, and you're lying about it. I could forgive you for doing it for your family, but you didn't.
Tell me, or give it back." He punched Wally hard. The pain in his hands from hitting the man sapped his rage. But then Wally broke.
"I lost it gambling. I know I was stupid, but I was so sure I was going to win. They took me. They let me think I was going to win big, then took me. And the only way out was to steal. They would have killed me. I borrowed from Gilbert after I told him how good you were doing. Lost it. Gambling.
Borrowed from Gilbert," Shed muttered. Gilbert had moved in on Crag's territories. He was as bad as his predecessor.
"How could you be so stupid?"
The rage took him again. He snatched a board off a scrap of pile left for kindling. He hit Wally hard, and hit him again. His cousin went down, stopped trying to fend off the blows. Shed froze, suddenly, coldly rational. Wally wasn't moving.
"Wally. Wally. Hey, Wally. Say something."
Wally did not respond. Shed's stomach knotted. He tossed the board into the pile.
"Have to get that inside before people cart it off."
He gripped his cousin's shoulder.
"Come on, Wally. I won't hit you any more."
Wally did not move. "Oh, shit," Shed muttered. "I killed him. This tore it. What now? There wasn't much justice in the buskin, but what there was quick and rough. They would hang him sure." He whirled, looking for witnesses. He saw no one. His mind flew in 100 directions. There was a way out. No body, no proof that murder had been done. But he'd never gone up that hill alone. Hastily, he dragged Wally to the scrap pile and covered him. The amulet he needed to get into the Black Castle. Where was it? He dashed into the Lily, roared upstairs, found the amulet, examined it. Definitely serpents intertwined. The workmanship was amazingly detailed. Tiny jewels formed the eyes of the snakes. They sparkled menacingly in the afternoon sun. He stuffed the amulet into his pocket. Shed, get yourself together. Panic and you're dead. How long before Sal yelled for the law? A few days, surely. Plenty of time. Raven had left him his wagon and team. He hadn't thought to keep paying the stable keeper. Had the man sold them? If so, he was in trouble. He cleaned out his coin boxes, left the Lily in Lisa's care. The stable keeper hadn't sold off, but the mules were looking lean. Shed cursed him.
I should feed them at my own expense, mister.
Shed cursed him some more and paid what he was owed. He said,
Feed them, and have them hitched and ready at the 10th hour.
Shed remained panicky all afternoon. Somebody might find Wally. But no lawman came stamping in. Soon after dark, he stole away to the stable. He spent the journey alternately being terrified and wondering how much Wally would bring, and how much he could get for his wagon and team. He hadn't factored them into his earlier calculations. He ought to help Wally's family. He had to. It was the decent thing. He was acquiring too many dependents. Then he was facing the dark gate. The castle, with all its monstrous decoration, was terrible, but it didn't seem to have grown since last he had been there. He knocked as Raven had done, his heart in his throat. He gripped his amulet in his left hand. What was taking them so long? He hammered again. The gate jumped open, startling him. He fled to his wagon, got the mules moving. He entered exactly as Raven had done, ignoring everything but his driving. He halted in the same place, climbed down, dragged Wally out. No one came for several minutes. He grew ever more nervous, wishing he'd had the sense to come armed. What guarantee did he have that they wouldn't turn on him? That silly amulet. Something moved. He gasped. The creature that stepped out of the shadow was short and wide and radiated an air of contempt. It never looked at him. Its examination of the cadaver was detailed. It was being difficult, like some petty official with a helpless citizen momentarily in his power. Shed knew how to handle that. Stubborn patience and refusal to become irritated. He stood motionless, waiting. The creature finally placed 25 pieces of silver near Wally's feet. Shed grimaced, but collected the cash. He returned to his seat, backed the wagon, got the team aligned with the gate. Only then did he register his protest.
That was a prime corpse. Next time you'll do better, or there won't be a time after that. Get up.
Out the gate he went, amazed at his temerity. Going down the hill, he sang. He felt great, except for a fading guilt about Wally. The bastard had earned it. He was at peace with his world. He was free and safe, out of debt, and now had money in reserve. He returned his team to its stable, wakened the stable keeper, paid 4 months in advance. "Take good care of my animals," he admonished. A representative of the precinct magistrate showed up next day. He had questions about Wally's disappearance. Sal had reported the fight. Shed admitted it.
I kicked the shit out of him, but I don't know what happened to him. He just took off. I would have run, too, if I had somebody that mad at me.
What was the fight about? Shed played the role of a man who didn't want to get anybody in trouble. Finally, he admitted,
He worked for me. He stole money to pay back money he borrowed to pay gambling debts. Check with my suppliers. They'll tell you how he bought on credit. He told me he was paying cash.
How much was involved?
Well, can't say exactly, Shed replied. More than 50 leva. My whole profit for the summer, and then some.
The questioner whistled.
I don't blame you for getting pissed.
Yeah. I wouldn't have begrudged him money to help his family. He's got a whole mob to take care of. But to lose it gambling. Damn, I was hot. I borrowed to fix this place up. The payments are rough. I probably won't make it through the winter now, because that bastard couldn't resist a game. I may still break his neck.
It was a good act. Shed pulled it off.
You want to register a formal complaint?
Shed played reluctant.
He's family. My cousin. I'd break my own father's back if he did that to me. Yeah, all right. I'll register it. But don't go hanging him right away. Maybe he can work it out or something. Hell, maybe he's still got some he can pay back. He could have lied about losing it all. He lied about a lot of things.
Shed shook his head.
He worked for us on and off since my father ran this place. I never thought he'd do anything like that.
You know how it is. You get too far into debt, and the vultures start closing in. You'll do anything to save your ass. You don't worry about tomorrow. We see it all the time.
Shed nodded. He knew how it was.
After the magistrate's man departed, Shed told Lisa, I'm going out. He wanted one last fling before he settled into the dreary business of managing the Lily. He bought the most skilled, most beautiful woman he could find. She cost, but she was worth every copper. He returned to the Lily wishing he could live that way all the time. He dreamed about the woman that night. Lisa wakened him early.
There's a man here who wants to see you.
Who is he?
He didn't say.
Cursing, Shed rolled out.
He did nothing to hide his nakedness. More than once he had hinted that Lisa should include more than barmaid's chores in her duties. She was not cooperating. He had to find a handle. He'd better look out. He was getting obsessed with sex. That could give somebody a handle.
He descended to the common room. Lisa indicated a man. He was no one Shed knew.
You wanted to see me?
You got someplace private?
A hard case. Now what? He did not owe anyone. He did not have any enemies.
What's your business?
Let's talk about your cousin, the one who didn't disappear the way people think.
Shed's stomach knotted. He concealed his distress.
I don't understand.
Suppose somebody saw what happened.
Come into the kitchen.
Shed's visitor peeped back through the kitchen door.
Thought the split-tail might try to listen in. Then he gave Shed an accurate account of Wally's death.
Where did you get that fairy tale?
I saw it.
In a pipe dream, maybe.
You're cooler than I heard. Here's the way it goes, friend. I have a trick memory. Sometimes I forget. Depends on how I'm treated.
Ah, I begin to see the light. This is about hush money.
There you go.
Shed's thoughts scurried like frightened mice. He couldn't afford hush money. He had to find another way out. But he couldn't do anything right now. He was too confused. He needed time to get himself together.
How much?
A leva a week would buy a first-class case of amnesia.
Shed goggled. He sputtered. He choked back his protest. The extortionist made a what-can-I-do gesture.
I have problems, too. I got expenses. A leva a week, or take your chances.
The black castle flickered through Shed's thoughts. Low cunning grabbed it, turned it over, looked at the possibilities. Murder did not bother him anymore. But not now, not here.
How do I pay you?
The man grinned.
Just hand me a leva.
Shed brought his coin box into the kitchen.
You'll have to take copper. I don't have any silver.
The man's smile grew broader. He was pleased.
Why?
The man left.
Shed said, Lisa, I have a job for you. Worth a bonus. Follow that man. Find out where he goes.
He gave her 5 gersh.
Another 5 when you get back, if it's worth it.
Lisa zipped out in a whirl of skirts.
He wandered around a lot, Lisa reported, like he was killing time. Then he headed down to the sailmakers to see that one-eyed moneylender.
Gilbert?
Yeah, Gilbert.
Thank you, Shed said thoughtfully. Thanks a bunch. That casts light on the problem.
5 Gershworth?
Sure, you're a good girl. He made a suggestive offer as he counted.
I don't need money that bad, Mr. Shed.
He retreated to his kitchen, began preparing supper.
So Gilbert was behind the extortionist. Did Gilbert want him financially pressed?
Why?
The lily. Why else?
The renovations made the place that much more attractive a steal.
So, assume Gilbert was opening a campaign to snatch the lily. He had to fight, but this time nobody could help him. He was on his own.
3 days later, Shed visited an acquaintance who operated on the nether edge of the buskin. For a consideration, he received a name. He visited the man attached and left him with 2 pieces of silver. Back at the lily, he asked Lisa to tell her favorite customers that Gilbert was trying to force them out by spreading lies and making threats. He wanted the magistrate suspicious of accusations leveled against him later. The morning of the next payoff, Shed told Lisa,
"I'll be gone all day. Anybody comes looking for me, tell them to come back after supper."
The man I followed,
him especially.
At first, Shed just roamed, killing time. His nerve worsened with time. Something would go wrong. Gilbert would come back, rough.
But he wouldn't dare, would he?
That would tarnish his reputation. Shed's rumors had him on the defensive now. People would make their loans elsewhere if he pressed. Shed found himself a woman. She cost too much, but she made him forget, for a while. He returned to the lily at sunset.
"He came by,"
he asked Lisa.
"Be back, too. He looked put out. I don't think he's going to be nice, Mr. Shed."
"That's the way it goes. I'll be out back, working on the woodpile."
Shed glanced at a customer he'd never seen before. The man nodded, departed through the front door. Shed chopped wood by lantern light. Now and again he searched the shadows, saw nothing. He prayed nothing would go wrong. The extortionist stormed out the kitchen doorway.
"You trying to duck me, Shed? You know what happens if you mess with me."
"Duck you? What do you mean? I'm right here."
"You weren't this afternoon.
Now that girl of yours gives me a hard way to go, trying to steer me away. I like to have to pound her before she'd tell me where you were."
Very creative. Shed wondered how much Lisa suspected.
"Save the dramatics. You want your money. I want your ugly face away from my place. Let's get on with it."
The extortionist looked puzzled.
"You talking tough? They told me you were the biggest coward in the buskin."
"Who told you? You working for somebody? This not a freelance play?"
The man's eyes narrowed as he realized his mistake. Shed produced a handful of copper. He counted, counted, counted again, put a few coins away.
"Hold out your hands."
The extortionist extended cupped hands. Shed had not expected it to be this easy. He dumped the coins, grabbed the man's wrists.
"Hey, what the hell?"
A hand clamped over the man's mouth. A face appeared over his shoulder, mouth stretched in a grimace of effort. The extortionist rose to his toes, arching backward. His eyes widened in fear and pain, then rolled up. He slumped forward.
"All right. Perfect. Get out of here," Shed said.
Hastening footsteps faded quickly. Shed dragged the body into shadow, quickly covered it with wood scraps, then dropped to hands and knees and began collecting coins. He found all but 2.
"What are you doing, Mr. Shed?"
He jumped.
"What are you doing?"
"I came to see if you were all right."
"I'm fine. We had an argument. He knocked some coins out of my hand. I can't find them all."
"Need help?"
"Mind the counter, girl, or they'll steal us blind."
"Oh,
Sure.
She ducked back inside. Shed gave it up a few minutes later. He would search again tomorrow. He got antsy waiting for closing time. Lisa was too curious. He was afraid she would look for the missing coins and find the body. He did not want her disappearance on his conscience, too. 2 minutes after he closed, he was out his back door and heading for his wagon and team. The tall being was back on duty. He paid Shed 30 pieces of silver. As he was maneuvering to leave, though, the thing demanded,
"Why do you come so seldom?"
"I'm not as skilled as my partner."
"What has become of him? We have missed him."
"He's out of town." Shed could have sworn he heard the thing chuckle as he went out the gate.
Chapter 22. Juniper, running scared. A long time had passed, and nothing had happened. The Taken were not pleased. Neither was Elmo. He dragged me into his quarters. "Where the hell did Raven go, Croker?"
"I don't know," I told him, as if he were the only one disturbed. I was scared, and getting more so by the day.
"I want to know. Soon."
"Look, man, Goblin's done everything but torture people trying to pick up his trail. He flat vanished. He got wind of us somehow."
"How? Will you tell me how?
We've been here half our lives, it seems like, and nobody else down there has noticed. Why should Raven be any different?"
"Because we were around looking for him. He must have spotted one of us."
"If he did, I want to know that. You hike on down there and light a fire under Goblin's ass, hear?"
"Right. Whatever you say, boss."
Though he commanded the advance party, technically I outranked Elmo. But I was not about to press for prerogatives at the moment. There was too much tension in the air. There was stress throughout Durtile, and I did not understand most of it. I remained on the periphery of the Taken's study of the Black Castle, just another messenger boy, a foot-slogger bringing in data from the city. I hadn't the slightest notion what they had discovered by direct examination, or even if they were studying the castle directly. They could be lying back, afraid they would alert the Dominator to their presence. One of the men located me in Elmo's quarters.
"Whisper wants you, Croker."
I jumped a foot. Guilty conscience.
"What for?"
I had not seen her for weeks.
"You'll have to go see. She didn't say."
He sneered, hoping he would see an officer in the soup. He figured I was in trouble.
He figured that. So did I. I dawdled as much as I dared, but eventually had to present myself.
Whisper glared at me as I entered.
"You people haven't found a damned thing down there. What are you doing? Dogging it? Taking a vacation? Well, say something."
"I..."
"Do you know the Black Castle stopped growing after our raid on the crater group?" "No." "Why not? You're supposed to be finding out these things."
"None of the prisoners accounted for the..."
"I know that. I know none of them knew who the main body supplier was. But that supplier must have known them. He packed up. There have been just 2 bodies delivered since, the latest just last night. Why didn't you know that? Why have you got people in the buskin? They seem incapable of learning anything."
Oh, she was in a mood. I said, "Is the deadline close or something? The way I understood it, we wouldn't be in trouble if only a few bodies were delivered."
"True, as far as it goes. But we've reached a point where a handful might make all the difference."
I bit my lower lip, tried to look properly chastised, and waited. She told me,
"The lady is pressing. She's very nervous. She wants something to happen up here."
So, as always, the shit rolls downhill. The normal course would be for me to go out and tromp on somebody below me.
"Half the problem is, we don't know what's going on. If you claim you know what the castle is, how it's growing and so forth, how come you don't go over and kick it down, or turn it into great preserves or something?"
"It's not that simple."
"It never is. I tend to overlook political ramifications. I'm not politically minded."
"Maybe once the rest of your company gets here, the city will have to be controlled. The Duke and his incompetence couldn't manage that." I stood there looking expectant. Sometimes that will con people into telling you more than they plan. The city will go up in flames if it's not buttoned up tight when the truth comes out. Why do you think the custodians are so determined to keep the catacombs thing hushed? Several thousand citizens have relatives who went into that monstrosity. That's a lot of people who'll get very irate about the souls of loved ones being lost. I see. I did a little. It took a certain willing suspension of reason, though. We're going at this from a different angle, she told me. I'm taking charge of your investigations. Report to me daily. I'll decide what you're going to do and how. Understand? Yes, ma'am. Only too well. It was going to get that much more difficult to keep her and Raven apart. The first thing you'll do is set a watch on the castle, and if that doesn't shake something loose, I'll send Feather down there. Understand? Yes, ma'am. Again, only too well. I wondered if Whisper suspected we were working at cross purposes. You can leave. I'll expect you back tomorrow, with something to report. Yes, ma'am. I went straight back to Elmo, fuming. He should have faced her, not me, just because I'd sort of taken over. I was with Elmo barely long enough to tell him what had happened when a messenger came from Bullock. He wanted to see me right away. Bullock was another problem. I'd become convinced he was smarter than he put on, and was almost as sure that he suspected we were up to more than we admitted. I eased into his cubicle in the secret police headquarters. What's up? I've made a little headway on the catacombs raid, result of pure stubborn footwork. Well, I felt pretty curt about then, and he raised an eyebrow. Just had a face-to-face with my boss, I told him, which was as near an apology as I cared to come. What have you got? A name. I waited. Like Elmo, Bullock liked to be coaxed. I was in no mood to play that game. I followed up your notion about rented wagons. Turned up the name Asa. A woodgatherer named Asa was probably working through the hole I showed you. A man named Asa spent a number of old coins, but before the raid on the catacombs. A man named Asa worked for Crag before he and his men disappeared. Everywhere I go, it's Asa this or Asa that. Anything to connect him with the Black Castle? No, I don't think he's a principal in anything, but he must know something. I thought back. Bullock had mentioned this name once before, referring to a man who hung around the same place as Raven. Maybe there was a connection. Maybe I ought to find this Asa before anybody else did. I'm headed down to the Buskin, I said. Direct orders from Her Holiness. I'll have Goblin round the guy up. Bullock scowled. There had been some ill will when he found out that we had put men into the Buskin without consulting him. All right. But don't play any more fast shuffle with me, eh? Your people and mine aren't after the same things. But that's no reason to undermine each other, eh? You're right. We're just used to doing things different. I'll see you when I get back. I'd appreciate that. He eyed me in a way that said he did not trust me anymore. If ever he had. I left thinking the company and I were into it, deep. Trouble on every hand. Juggling with too many balls in the air. Only we were juggling knives with poisoned edges. I hustled on down and looked up Goblin, told him about our escalating troubles. He was no happier than Elmo or I. Chapter 23 Juniper, Interrogation. Shed had no more trouble with extortionists. Somebody did tell the magistrate that he had killed Wally. The magistrate did not believe it, or did not care. Then Bullock's sidekick turned up. Shed nearly dropped a valuable piece of crockery. He had felt safe from that. The only people who knew anything were far away. He clamped down on his nerves and guilt, went to the man's table.
How may we serve you, Reverend Sir?
Bring me a meal and your best wine, landlord. Shed lifted an eyebrow.
Sir?
I'll pay. Nobody in the Buskin can afford to give away meals.
Ain't it the truth, sir? Ain't it the truth?
When Shed returned with the wine, the Inquisitor observed, "You seem to be doing well, landlord." Shed snorted.
"We live on the edge, reverend sir, on the ragged edge. One bad week would destroy me. I spend every winter borrowing from one moneylender to pay another. This summer was good, though. I found a partner. I was able to fix a few things. That made the place more attractive. Probably my last dying gasp before it gets away."
He donned his sourest face. The Inquisitor nodded. "Leave the bottle. Let the Brotherhood contribute to your prosperity."
"I'll ask no profit, reverend sir."
"Why be foolish? Charge me the same as anyone else." Shed mentally upped the tab 20% over normal. He was glad to be rid of the bottle. Raven had left him stuck with several. When Shed delivered the meal, the Inquisitor suggested, "Bring a mug and join me." Shed's nerves twisted as tight as a bowstring. Something was wrong. They had caught on.
"As you wish, reverend sir."
He dragged over and collected his own mug. It was dusty. He had not done much drinking lately, afraid his tongue would wag. "Sit down, and wipe the scowl off your face. You haven't done anything, have you?
I don't even know your name." "Shed, reverend sir, Maron Shed. The Iron Lily has been in my family for 3 generations.
"Admirable. A place with tradition. Tradition is falling by the wayside nowadays."
"As you say, reverend sir."
"I guess our reputation has preceded me. Won't you calm down?"
"How may I help you, reverend sir?"
"I'm looking for a man named Asa. I hear he was a regular here."
"So he was, sir," Shed admitted. "I knew him well. A lazy wastrel. Hated honest work.
Never a copper to his name, either. Yet he was a friend, after his fashion, and generous in his way. I let him sleep on the common room floor during the winter, because in the days of my hardship he never failed to bring wood for the fire." The Inquisitor nodded. Shed decided to tell most of the truth. He could not hurt Asa. Asa was beyond the reach of the custodians. "Do you know where he acquired the wood?" Shed pretended acute embarrassment.
"He collected it in the enclosure, reverend sir. I debated with myself about using it. It wasn't against the law, but it seemed reprehensible anyway."
The Inquisitor smiled and nodded. "No failing on your part, Maron Shed. The Brotherhood doesn't discourage gleaning. It keeps the enclosure from becoming too seedy."
"Why are you looking for Asa, then?"
"I understand he worked for a man named Crag."
"Sort of. For a while.
He thought he was king of the Buskin when Crag took him on, strutting and bragging, but it didn't last." "So I heard. It's the timing of their falling out that intrigues me."
"Sir?"
"Crag and some of his friends disappeared. So did Asa, about the same time. And all of them vanished soon after somebody got into the catacombs and looted several thousand passage urns." Shed tried to look properly horrified.
"Crag and Asa did that?"
"Possibly. This Asa started spending old money after he began gleaning in the enclosure. Our investigations suggest he was petty at his grandest. We think he pilfered a few urns each time he gathered wood. Crag may have found out and decided to plunder in a big way. Their falling out may have been over that, assuming Asa had any conscience."
"Possibly, sir. I understood it to be a squabble over a guest of mine, a man named Raven. Crag wanted to kill him. He hired Asa to spy on him. Asa told me that himself. Crag decided he wasn't doing his job. He never did anything right. Anyway, he never did anything very well. But that doesn't invalidate your theory. Asa could have been lying. Probably was. He lied a lot."
"What was the relationship between Asa and Raven?"
"There wasn't any."
"Where is Raven now?"
"He left Juniper right after the ice broke up in the harbor."
The Inquisitor seemed both startled and pleased. "What became of Crag?"
"Nobody knows, reverend sir. It's one of the great mysteries of the Buskin. One day he was there,
The next, he wasn't. There were all kinds of rumors.
Could he have left Juniper, too?
Maybe. Some people think so. Whatever, he didn't tell anybody. The people who worked for him don't know anything either.
Or so they say.
Could he have looted enough from the catacombs to make it worthwhile to leave Juniper?
Shed puzzled that question. It sounded treacherous.
I don't understand what you're asking, sir.
Shed, thousands of the dead were violated. Most were put away at a time when the wealthy were very generous. We suspect a sum of gold may have been involved. Shed gaped. He hadn't seen any gold. The man was lying. Why?